people say to me, Trevor, what do you do with the young people? I said, what do you think I do? I do exactly the same as you, what a pastor does. You know, two things in ministry is basically about two things. It's about teaching the Bible as skillfully as you can, and it's about building relationships. So that's what I do.
Hello and welcome to Independence, the FIEC podcast. My name is Adrian Reynolds. I'm head of national ministries for the FIEC, and I'm joined by Archbishop, the Reverend Canon Trevor Pierce from All Souls, Langham Place. Is that your full title?
Senior Minister. More than that, but I'll settle for that.
Senior Minister of what?
Children and Youth.
Children and Youth. Trev, welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us. We're here on tour. Mm-hmm. This little room we're in is a Stockwell Baptist Church. We're here for a London pastors gathering. What are you doing here?
I'm here because I love Trevor Archer.
So Trevor Archer, who has today steps down as our director for London, it's his swan song, really. We're saying farewell to him. Why do you love Trevor Archer?
Because he was my Sunday school teacher. Then I went up to the 11 to 14 old the church in Chesington, and then he was my youth leader there. And then I went up to the 14s to 18s, and then he moved up into that team, and he was my youth
was
leader there.
Was he following you, or are you following him?
I really don't know. And then he was my pastor, and then I became the children's and youth evangelist at Chesington for 12 years, and I was his colleague.
What a great heritage. And there's lots of people here, actually, and around the country, who would say, I'm in ministry today, and I've been shaped by I am because Trevor's had a really big impact on my life.
Yeah, 100%.
Praise God for that.
Amen.
And I think we're not very good, are we? We're not here to talk about this, but let's talk about it anyway. We're not very good in the UK church at honouring people that ought to be honoured. Slightly embarrassed by it.
Yeah.
You know, we don't want to get into that sort of American thing where people get 15-minute welcomes on stage. So we just say, here's Trevor Archer. But actually, we ought to honour people who deserve honour.
And I think it's very biblical.
Yeah.
That's the thing. You look at Proverbs, it's right to honour the silver-headed, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. He says, as someone who has a few silvers, and you've got a few silvers. We're both granddads, aren't we?
We are.
Both granddads.
Proud granddads.
And enjoying that. So we're here to talk about youth work. You know, what on earth has a granddad got to do to talk about youth work? But just before we get there, let me just authenticate you. Mm-hmm. So you're serving at All Souls. Mm-hmm. Great church. It's an Anglican church. Mm-hmm. So what are you doing on the FIEC podcast? There's a little ounce of nonconformity left in you, isn't there, Trevor?
I would say I'm completely nonconformist. you know, I was saved in a Baptist church. Left there when I was 38. Worked in a Baptist church in Liverpool for 4 years, Bridge Chapel. And for whatever reason, I found myself at All Souls. I've been there, 16 years now. Like you say, I love the people there, and they're God's people, and I serve them.
And you're doing a great work, and we're just teasing you, because we love you, Trev, and we love the work you're doing.
Yeah.
We love All Souls, great fondness for it, obviously. Mm. Very significant ministry there in the centre of London. Mm. And I think people don't quite realise today that actually there is a parish there. There are lots of people who live around, and actually some quite deprived places live around.
Yeah.
This isn't a kind of commuter church.
Oh, 100%. I mean, All Souls Primary School, which is 2-minute walk from the church, is very mixed, and probably it's certainly not the same class of people, let's say, that come to All Souls. Economically it's very different, and I absolutely love that, and it's far more sort of reflective of my own background than the one I find myself at All Souls.
Sure. And there's a love of football that both unites us and divides us.
Yeah.
Because even though all my grandparents come from the East End, I'm ashamed to say, in front of you, I'm not a West Ham supporter.
You've
forgiven me, and we still talk to one another.
At the moment.
I think, given where I come from, I should be a Leighton Orient supporter, but I'm not sure about that.
There we are.
And that really is a low bar. Now, we're here to talk not about football and not about Trevor mainly, although it's good to honour him, but we're here to talk about youth work and especially lifelong commitment to youth work. Mm-hmm. So let me just be a bit provocative. You know, what are you doing still working in youth work? Mm. A man your age, grandchildren, you know, you should have moved on, shouldn't you? We might not say that so blatantly, but that's kind of the assumption, isn't it? Youth work feels like it's what you do when you're young and then you grow up.
I think it's more than an assumption. I think it's evangelical practice.
Yeah. Okay.
So whether you're a conservative...
Intentional, do you think, or just falling into it?
I think I wouldn't use the word intentional. I think I would say that whether you're conservative, evangelical, FIC, or Anglican, I think actually the culture when it comes to youth work is the same. You know, if I look at children's work, it seems to me far more people, let's say men, stay in it long term. I could reel off five or six easily. Who are significant children's leaders.
Yeah.
And everybody has an incredibly high view of them, and there's no surprise that they're still in it. If I had a quid for every time someone kind of said to me, "Well, when are you going to get your own church, or when are you going to kind of really grow up and be a big boy and become a pastor?" I'd be a very, very rich man.
I mean, I think you could retire from youth work.
I could retire from anything. If I think of people my age, well, I'm 57, still in youth work. This is my 32nd year full time. Obviously, I was doing youth work before then. Then it's very, very difficult.
Yeah.
Now, I think that's
one hand, maybe.
I'd struggle then. And I think that's because probably if you're a youth worker, you're probably going to preach more in a way that kind of adults would.
Yeah.
So if anybody's half decent at preaching, then it's obvious that they're going to become a pastor.
Right, okay.
As if you don't need skillful Bible teachers and preachers for young people.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, I think the culture is, if you're good at preaching, then you're going to be a pastor for adults. Of course you are. Mm. So that culture really, really needs to change. And there's lots of knock-ons that need to change. So
pay? Youth workers.
Definitely.
Some of the adverts that I see, I think that's below minimum wage. Mm-hmm. It's not even a legal advert. Mm-hmm. It's extraordinary.
Yeah. I mean, usually the wages are for a graduate.
Yeah, okay.
And that's usually
a single guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
and then that's usually what you get.
And it's
often people who are not that well trained because they haven't had the opportunity.
Yeah,
they really haven't seen that much of life. They might be really gifted. They might have a big personality, which, you know, can be greatly used. Can also be a huge problem, because if someone's got a big personality, very gifted, but they're not experienced, then you got more problems ahead.
Sure.
And then I think also they're put into a. So they haven't really got their theology worked out, not really. They haven't seen much of life, so they're not that mature. And often they go into teams where then the pastors just leave them to get on with it.
Yeah, okay.
Now that's a recipe for disaster. So often there's lots of different ways it can go wrong. They can burn themselves out if they're really hard workers. They can be really lazy if they've been a student and sorted through their degree and not work very hard. Yeah. And they come into that with that kind of background. So that's kind of what is out there. And it's, you know, it's just not a healthy environment. Now, if I then come and say, that needs to change, people will say, well, Trev, you would say that you're a youth worker.
Yeah, and they would also say, you know, I want to push a little bit. Mm. They would also say, well, that's fine. You're in a church that can afford someone like that. Actually, lots of churches, you know, scrabbling around, perhaps they have a part-time youth worker or even a volunteer youth worker. But actually, the same principles still apply, don't they?
Yeah,
in those circumstances.
If it really depends what you want the youth worker to do. So I agree, in one sense, I'm in a privileged position. Not every, you know, some churches can't even afford a full-time pastor. But saying that, if you look through the Christian magazines, there's advertisements for youth workers a lot.
Yeah, there are.
There's lots out there. Yeah. So clearly people are seeing a need. I suppose I would question, what people say to me, Trevor, what do you do with the young people? I said, well, what do you think I do? I do exactly the same as what a pastor does. You know, two things. Ministry is basically about two things. It's about teaching the Bible as skillfully as you can, and it's about building relationships. Mm. So that's what I do. Now, it might look a little bit different to what an adult ministry is. Although saying that, and I mean, I don't mean this in a big-headed way, but the talk I prepare for a Sunday for our young people, or on a Friday, I spend probably more time on that than I would do if I was for adults, because I think it's harder.
Mm.
And
what's harder about it?
Sorry?
What's harder about it?
Well, some things are harder, some things aren't. In the sense that I think I was at a preaching thing the other week, and someone said to us, think about what you most valued in your school teachers. Now, the environment I was in, which I'm not making any judgments on, I'm just saying, I looked around and I thought most of these people probably went to private or public schools, which is fine, no problem with that. So they were saying things like, really cared for me, knew their subject, all those kind of things, which are really important.
Yeah.
I went to Southborough Boys. I'm thinking the first thing a teacher had to have was a presence.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if they didn't have a presence, you'd just destroy them.
Yeah, and I went to Southend Boys School, and it was the same. And actually, teachers who didn't have a presence, they were the vindictive ones.
Yeah,
because
the
only way they could keep the class was by throwing things at them.
Absolutely, So, and I think with adults, and I think this is wrong for pastors, most pastors, they assume people want to hear and listen to them.
Yeah.
And I think adults can present themselves as really listening, but not. Whereas the great thing about young people is, if they think you're rubbish, if they think you're boring, then they will show you that with their body language.
Yes.
Now that's really, really good. And I think that where the culture is, you know, it affects us all in different ways. I think the young people is right in their face. So, you know, I'm not saying that teaching young people is hard. I'm just saying it's different. To a point, it's not completely different, but it's different challenges.
But the work, coming back to the point, you were saying the work you're doing is the same work as if you're preparing for adults.
Absolutely.
You're there bringing God's word, presenting Christ, offering Christ in the Bible.
And often, I would say on a Sunday, if I take the young people out and teach them, my talk will usually be longer than what the adults have.
Is that right?
Yeah. I would say 9 times out of 10. I'm not saying the adults should be longer. I'm just saying we don't shortchange.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, if you're going to call a youth worker, you want them to be, first and foremost, godly, of course. But secondly, you want them to have a gift of teaching God's word.
Yeah.
And you want that. And if you're a pastor, then you want, you know, you might take on a young man or a young woman in their early 20s, late 20s. I wouldn't necessarily recommend that. But if you do, you've then got to think this, I mean, none of us are finished articles, I know that, but someone like that, you then have got to think, I've got to invest in them.
Yeah.
Got to, number one, invest in developing their character. And number two, I've got to invest in helping them in their gift and developing their theology. So one young guy who'd been with me in the Church of Liverpool, he worked as a teacher for 4 or 5 years. Then he wanted to go for a job as a youth pastor. I then said to him, how much are they going to invest in you, the pastors? I'm not really sure. I said, well, ask them. And if they don't invest in you, if they don't meet up with you, if they don't give you a reading list, if they don't meet up with you every week, then don't take the job. And then the pastor then gave me a call to, you know, to chat with me about him as a reference on the phone. And I said to the pastor, look, I've told him, if you don't invest in him, if you don't meet with him every week, if you don't give him a reading list, you know, then I'm going to tell him not to take the job. And the pastor said, yes, Chris has already told me you would say that.
So your reputation goes before your
treatment.
So let me ask a couple of questions. Let's do these one by one. Number one, diagnostic question. How have we got here? How have we got to this place, essentially, where sort of long-term youth work is devalued, not really invested in. It's kind of an adjunct, you know, a pastor's happy just to push it away. So A, let's diagnose that. How have we got to that place? But B, perhaps more importantly, how can we begin to turn the corner? You know, we're not unrealistic. You know, we know that actually we can't just click our fingers and everything will be better. But what sorts of steps can we take to move to a healthier position? So let's start with number one. How have we got here?
I think it's some of the things I've already said. I think for some reason we think teaching young people and children is easier than teaching adults, and I don't think that's the case.
So it's kind of amateur. It's like non-league versus league football.
Yeah, yeah. You know, so if you think it's easier, then you're going to put someone in there who you need. If you advertise for a pastor, you would ask questions like what theological training have they had? What is their life experience? You'd ask all those really, once it's basic things.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, if someone, and they're teaching people who, if they get if the pastor preaches something wrong, I would hope you'd have a long list of people. Teach young people, and they're probably not going to pick that up. So you really want someone who really is theologically skillful. And I think teaching young people is probably harder than teaching adults. So you really want someone who is skillful at doing that. Now, I could give you 5 people straight away who started in youth work and were brilliant and now are pastors. Now, I don't have a problem with that. But let's say there was 10 probably, you know, most of them would be pastors.
Yeah.
It would just be great.
So, 20, so it'd all be pastors.
So what needs to do is people like you, of your experience, of your seniority, is people like you, when you see someone gifted and is in youth work, say, I want you to stay there. Now, it might be right for them to become a pastor, so I'm not just saying everyone, it's when people like you say you are superb with the young people, you've got a great rapport with them, but more importantly, I can see that they respect you, and I can see that you're brilliant teaching the Bible, whether that be up front or whether that be in small room. You know, I really, really believe that you know, preaching to young people is not only possible, it's what they need.
Yeah.
And actually, it's often the hunger and appetite.
Absolutely.
So it's not just, when you were talking about preaching for longer, actually, I find often there is a real hunger and thirst for knowledge that actually is often absent in adults.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And often when they're on church, because they've never heard this before.
Yeah.
And suddenly, they're in a culture, Christian kids as well sometimes, and they're having so much thrown at them, they just don't understand it. You then get up with the Word of God, and they're thinking, man, I do understand it. Mm. It's very different to what I'm hearing every day. But this, I mean, we've just done a series with our young people on Genesis 1 to 6. Now, I started it off, I thought, how am I going to approach Genesis 1 and 2 with all the stuff that's kicking around about gender and sexuality and all those sort of things? So I thought, well, what's a way in? What's an image I can use? So I started off with the image, in the beginning, God. Genesis 1 and 2, there's only one artist. I'm not there. You're not there. There's only one artist at the beginning of the history. There's only one designer. In the beginning, God. So if I start thinking, no, actually, I could be the designer, you're going to have a problem, aren't you? Let's look at what this design is like. Now, obviously, we said a lot more, but it's just trying to get an image into their culture where you're saying so many things when you say that one sentence. There's only one artist at the beginning of history.
Yeah.
There's only one designer. You know, now, if you teach that skillfully enough, you can mention all the things that are kicking off in their head, but you can see them thinking, this makes sense of the world I'm living in.
Yeah.
It really does. And you see the Christian kids thinking, okay, so all the stuff I'm given at school, which I don't quite understand and I know is wrong, now I can understand why it's wrong. I can understand from God's word why it's wrong. And even unchurched people, they're thinking, well, this is a different message. But if it's God's truth, then it will make sense. Of course it will.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, teaching God's word, obviously, is the heart of what evangelicals do, and it's the way for them to understand it.
Did someone say that, you know, you're talking about saying to a guy who's obviously gifted in youth work, gifted in teaching, you know, stick with this, Did someone say that to you?
No, I don't think they did, actually.
Did you have to kind of work that out for yourself?
I think the culture of the church in Chesington was that, I mean, I'd grown up through the youth work from the age of three, and it, you know, and people like Ian Fry, Trevor Archer, you know, had people who, they all learned how to teach the Bible in children's youth work.
Yeah.
Trevor Archer could have easily been a brilliant youth worker. Mm. And the culture there was so Bible-centered that I think when I came up through the ranks, they saw that I naturally fitted there. So I don't think in one sense that a conversation even needed to be had. Good. And all I got from them was support and encouragement. Mm. So that the support and encouragement they gave me is probably another one of the major factors that kept me in it, really.
I'm thinking now about smaller churches that might have volunteers. Mm. We can still have the same narrative, can't we?
100%. I think it just asks... So if I do a conference and... You've got people there saying, and I'm trying to teach them how to teach the Bible.
Yeah.
And they're saying, but Trevor, I just haven't got the time to do all that work. And I think, yeah, you probably haven't. You know, if you've got a young family and you're out for work at 7:30, you get back at 6:00, you know, you probably haven't. So what I say to them is, okay, let's say, let's do Genesis 1 to 6, let's say.
Yeah.
Let's do a term on Genesis 1 to 6. Now, what I think you should do is go to your pastor, give him a bit of time. Let's say it's Christmas. Say, okay, after Easter, I want to do Genesis 1 to 6 with my team. So what I'd love is a morning for you to come and teach us Genesis 1 to 6.
Okay.
And then teach us how to split it up. I mean, don't want you to do all the work when we do the talks, but we really need you to give us a real guide. So can you? And then you get into a pattern where the pastor does that.
Yeah.
Because he's the one... Or you might, he might be teaching the Book of James to the adults. Okay, well, can we do that with the young people?
And actually also building a bridge between the pastor and the youth workers at that point. That actually, I think, I mean, from my point of view, so much of what's wrong about youth work in church is it's the poor man. It's kind of, you know, great, off you go, do your thing. Not really praying for it, not really interested in it, not really hearing about it, not really inputting into it. Just happy that someone's doing it, frankly. And I think, you know, I understand that to a certain extent. Pastors are busy, they're stretched, they're worn down. If they've got somebody who's just going to do the work, it's just hallelujah. They've got somebody who's going to do the work. But actually, that kind of investment that you're describing doesn't need to be onerous, but can just pay huge dividends, can't it?
Oh, absolutely. And I think, again, why should, and one said, why should a young, say, 25-year-old who's got a busy job and a family, why should he know how to teach the Book of James? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Now, obviously, I could do with some help, frankly.
He could go away and do some work, but... Or the pastor can even say to him, "These are the books I want you to read." You know, even so, you know, the old Good Book Company. They're one of James, the interactive ones. Do that.
Or even these are the books I want you to teach. You know, you know, we're doing this in adult church. Why don't you think about this as well?
So the relationship between the youth workers and the pastors, you know, it's only going to be brilliant for the church the closer that is. And again, at Chesington, I was brought up in a culture where often I meet youth workers, and it kind of be nobody understands us, and you know, we're kind of separate from the church. Well, that might be because of the pastor or the adults are like that. Often, I think sometimes it's more a problem with the youth workers and the youth than it is the church. I just think, look, just get park that, and let's just really be part of the church. You know, I want my youth group and children's work to know they're part of something bigger. They're not separate.
They're part
of the church family. Okay. What I'm doing is the same as, you know, I'm partnering with their parents trying to disciple their children. I'm partnering the pastor. We're all partners in this together. We're all about the same thing. So I think trying to create that culture, which was the culture that I was grew up in, is only healthy and exciting. It should be exciting for the pastor. You know, get the pastor to come in and teach the young people. You know, we're doing James. Could you do the first one? Could you do the last one?
You can preach for a bit longer.
Yeah, that's right. You can enjoy it. And I think those kind of things is exciting.
Yeah. So it seems to me that actually what we're saying to here to pastors, to leaders, is think about this in exactly the same way you're thinking about your own ministry.
Absolutely.
And actually, even if you're a pastor in a smaller church, you still have a staff team. Right? They might not be employed and they might not be available for a meeting on Monday morning. But you've still got someone running the Sunday school, you've still got someone running the youth group, you've still got someone working with the women and seniors and whatever. So you've actually still got a staff team, and you ought to think that way about a team.
Absolutely.
I've got a team of they may be volunteers, but I've got a team of people that the church have set apart that are gifted that I need to invest in. It's going to be harder for me in those circumstances. I'm probably going to have to do things weekends, weekday evenings, whatever. But actually that's money that pays well, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think you know, if the church can afford a full-time youth worker, then you know, at Chesington I used to meet up with the two senior pastors every week. It's the same All Souls, not every week, but well, we do, but we have a senior team meeting once a month and stuff. But what I'm trying to say is the senior pastors show that this guy is able to teach. So get them to teach in the main body. And then you're showing them, I really trust this guy. So last year I said to Charlie, the rector at All Souls, look, I think it'd be really great if for half a term we took the same stuff. He said, great idea. What do you want to do? I said, James. So he said, okay, go away, do some work on it, and then come back. So I got my two children's workers to think about that. So we did James for, I think it was 7 weeks. So we picked the same passage for the adults, same passage for the kids. So my children's workers, they wrote material for the leaders and the families. I then wrote material for my youth workers, and then we preached. So I did 3 out of 7 in the main church, and then I wrote quiet time notes for 7 weeks for every day. So we looked at we did James 1 at the beginning. So we read James in quiet times we read James 1 every day for 7 days, and I just wrote 3 or 4 questions for one. So what they
heard and preached. Church curriculum.
Absolutely. What I'm working on at the moment, we're doing Proverbs. So we're going to do 7 weeks in Proverbs. Now, I don't think we should do that all the time, but I think maybe once a year. And then if the youth workers are able to do it, then by saying, the pastor saying, the youth worker's going to lead this, he's going to write material for us. So I went to the senior team, presented the stuff in Proverbs, and then Charlie's going away. He's like, I want you to do it in 7 weeks. I've then written material for the senior team. So now, you know, a young youth worker might not be able to do that, might be too much, but that's what you should be aiming at.
Yeah.
They have that kind of position and place within the team. So then the message you're giving them is, this is not a junior post.
I like that idea. I like the idea of basically a pulpit swap.
Absolutely.
Swap between the senior leader amongst the adults and whoever's leading the youth work. But you're describing kind of little things, but significant things, it seems to me. I think we're too casual as well in our language about youth work. So I sit in churches and I hear things like, the pastor says, oh, the kids are going out now, so we can concentrate on the main team. You know, stuff like that is just really lazy and ultimately unhelpful. So I think actually there are little things the pastor can do. You can be careful with language. You can be careful about how you talk about things, how you honour, we were talking about honouring Trevor earlier, about how you honour the youth workers, you pray for the kids as they go out. So I think there's lots of little things, aren't there, that actually just make a big difference.
Yeah, I mean, we have fellowship groups for three small groups within the church for three Tuesdays of the month. Then we have a prayer gathering where we all come together. So the next one is next Tuesday. So me and the children's workers will be doing a 10-minute slot on the youth work. And then we'll be praying just for that. Things like that. Why not in the main service get the youth worker in and say, what have you been teaching this? What are you going to teach this term? What have you been teaching this term? How's the youth worker going? You should be doing that at least once a term. A term. And if you have a prayer gathering, prayer meeting, then you should be getting them in and praying for that. So we're doing the new Christianity Explore for Youth. So that'll be front and center on Tuesday. And then the whole church are praying for it. I need the church praying for it. So again, things like that, you're constantly showing the church family this is a highly valued ministry.
Let's circle back and talk a bit more about lifelong youth workers. So as well as saying to people, you know, you're gifted in this area, God has obviously gifted you in this area, you've got a heart for it and love for it, so you want to invest that if you thought about it for the long term. What else do churches need to be doing to encourage that kind of ministry? Talk to me a little about pay. I mean, you've got to pay properly.
I mean, again, I think I'm 57, so I act like a 57-year-old.
You're much, much older than me.
I don't act...
Whole 2 years.
I don't act... I act the age I am. So, and I think that, therefore, the young people can see through anything. So there's integrity in that. So I think, first of all, just value someone for the age that they are and allow them to grow into it.
So a good youth worker isn't someone who is able to get 20 marshmallows in their mouth necessarily.
No. I mean, you got to have a sense of fun.
And,
you know, some of the, as a teenager growing up, some of the greatest experiences I had was in the youth work. So it's got to be a sense of fun. And being really serious about the Bible and growing as a Christian, fun are not separate. Do you know what I mean? They go together. But you know, pay is a key one. If I can't feed my family, then I'm not going to stay in that. I can't stay in the job. So again, that's about valuing youth ministry, children's ministry.
Well, also on the same deserves his wages.
Yeah, absolutely. So actually, it's biblical.
But people are underpaying youth workers that need to be rebuked, really.
Absolutely. Yeah. But I think I would come back to really what I said before, is just valuing the role. And if you value the role the same as you would value a pastor's role, then you'll look for someone as gifted and as godly. So is that really what you want? And you'd want them to have a good amount of life experience, and you want them to be a gifted Bible teacher. Because often what happens is people just get good at it and then they get moved on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it keeps coming back to, let's have a vision for long-term work.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I think some of the other things I reflect on often, you'll hear about a pastor, for example, who has a contract that allows him, let's say, £250 of books, two conferences a year. And you say to the youth worker, what have you got on your contract? He says, I'm allowed to go to Growing Young Disciples, that's it. Buy my own books. So, well, hang on. If you really value this ministry,
absolutely, you
should be putting the same kind of resource in it. So it's in the business world, the whole kind of continuing professional development, that needs to be a key part of it, doesn't it? Investing in training, that kind of stuff.
100%. In one sense, a youth worker needs more books because he hasn't got a library as big as a pastor. So, you know, if you can't make books your friends, make them your best acquaintances, Churchill said. Well, they should be your best friends, know. And again, I would say, you know, I'm advertising at the moment, part of my vision is to have someone every 2 years to train so that they will stay the next 30 years in youth work. And I want someone who's done youth work a bit and is experienced. My fear is I'm not going to fill that post. I'm not going to fill that post because the kind of people who will go for it will be great, but there'll be more apprenticeships than there will be someone who want to train for long-term ministry. Now, again, I think that reflects where our culture, both conservative evangelical, conservative Anglican, FIC, that's where our culture is. People who, you know, I could mention, people come to mind, you know, some of them will be here today, who were brilliant youth workers but become pastors. People of that ilk and that quality. Don't think they should be going for it because it's a step down.
So we've basically created a career path, which has ultimately been unhelpful.
Yes, absolutely.
So I think, people are called into different roles, and that's fine. But actually, we do believe God is calling people to the kinds of things you're doing. We know one or two others in London and other places doing the same thing. And we just got to hold that up and say, not everybody can do it, and not every church can afford it. But if you can, here's a model to pursue and really to embrace, right?
And I think if there is someone who stayed in long term, you know, yesterday I did as a couple from All Souls have gone to New York, and it sounds like they've got a great young youth pastor there. He's just started out, so they said to him, "Meet up with Trev." So I had a Zoom with him yesterday, and we're gonna carry on that. So I would say,
when are you going to visit?
That would be nice. So if there is a youth pastor that's been in it for over 5 years and you get a young person who comes in your role, then link them up.
And
usually they'll know what it's like to be lonely. They'll know what it's like not to have much input. So then they're going to really want to invest in them. So I would say, someone like myself, what's my passion? My passion is to invest in other youth leaders and children's workers so that they do stay in it long term. So again, if you're a senior pastor, find out where they are and get your youth pastor to link up with them.
Trev, thanks very much. If you're a youth worker and you've been listening to this and you've been 5 years in ministry, here's a thought. Just stay where you are. Maybe that's what the Lord is calling to you to.
Absolutely.
That could be an extraordinarily fruitful life of ministry.
Absolutely.
Maybe.
Amen.
Trev, thanks so much. Thank you for joining us. Really stimulating. We need to carry on praying, don't we, that the Lord would raise up workers for the harvest.
Amen.
Because the fields are white and there's a great harvest there, isn't there?
Absolutely.
Waiting to be collected in. Thank you for joining us. And thank you for joining us. This has been Independence. Do rate and review us if you can, because that helps people find us. And we'll see you again soon. Thanks, Trev.
Thank you, brother.